Okay, so what we did was we basically introduced yesterday a concept that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's al ha nizak laharchik esatzmo. The responsibility to distance oneself is on the person being damaged, meaning prevent myself. If I know you're being damaged, which is really the kind of the way that the Rabbi Yossi is formulating it. Right? If I know that you're doing what you want on your property, I do what I want on my property, so take responsibility. If you care about yourself the same way, if you leave your pool uncovered the entire year, the elements are going to destroy it in the winter, that's on you. Anything that is a potential damage, you have to take care of it. So whether that's your neighbor, whether it's, as long as he's not actively going into your, just that's what we said, Rabbi Yossi agrees, when it is giri dileg, when it is an arrow being shot straight, right, then it's not going to be good. What exactly the definition of giri dileg, we didn't know exactly what the definition is, but we did have Rashi's definition. Rashi made it sound like if it comes from your hand immediately. The svara that we explained was that it seems to be that what Rabbi Yossi is saying is that the only time that the mazik is responsible is if there is no way for the nizak to have protected himself. Because if you're going to say, oh, well, you should have moved away, that only works if you should have watched yourself, if I could have. But if it's coming immediately right away, then I could not have done such a thing, and therefore you're going to be tired. Good, I disagree, and they say, Allah mazik the harfik is atzmo. We saw that in the Gemara on Daf, Chafeim with Beis, the Gemara paskins this shaila, the words of paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So the halacha, it is ala nizak, the harfik es atzmo. Good. All of that background, we now can plug back into, and started to plug back into our sugya. Because l'chayra, if we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, then who should be telling who to build the fence in the mechitzas of Kerem Shenifritza? Right? Who's the one who should be obligated to build the fence? Balatzvua. And the Balakarem should be telling the Balatzvua, if you're concerned, put up a fence. He doesn't have to tell him to do anything. Right? It's on him, but you can advise him. Listen, if you want to avoid any problem, you can do something about it. What's then therefore surprising? What's surprising is that Rashi learned the Gemara al-Liba de Chachamim. Right, Rashi learned that we're talking about that the Baal HaTvua tells the Baal HaGrapes, right, the Baal Kerem, that you need to do it. Why? Because lest your grapes come and encroach on my property and aser my Tvua.
Okay,
yeah.
Just curiosity, could the answer to the issue be that prices don't have to match up with the...
Absolutely. It could be that, or it could be that Rashi just thought it was the easiest explanation. It could be because it's Mechitzas HaKerem and it was going according to the Chachamim. Yes?
I think if that side, if we pass him like Rabbi Yossi, then we should follow through. But if the price side, prices have no clue where they're coming in contact.
Yeah, again, even if it wasn't a price side, you could still say, once you know that it's a Machlokas Tanaim, and we only know from the Amoraim what the halacha is, so it is a possible answer. It is a possible answer. Why, if you could answer the other way, Rashi would choose to do it, would still be an open-ended question. Meaning, Rashi usually doesn't play games with us. He will sometimes learn a Gemara in a vacuum in a way that he thinks is the pashtus of that Gemara, even if it goes against the halacha. And that might be the answer here. Was that if you read it straight, it sounds like Mechitas HaKerem Shenifritza. Omer Lo, I would probably, I think most of us probably learned, that it was the Baal HaTvua selling into the Baal HaKerem even before we saw Rashi. Maybe we wouldn't have filled in the Svara that way. But once you learned it that way, then maybe they had an inkling that it was part of the Chacham. Okay, yeah, I can accept that. Oh. Now, we saw that Tosvos learns the same shot as Rashi. But what we would call it is Lav Mitameh, but not for the same reason as Rashi. Tosvos throws in this newer concept for us, which he gets from a Gemara later on, that the four amos around the Kerem are not because of Harayachaka from Kilayim. It's about Avodas HaKerem. It's about the amount of space that's necessary to bring in the Maharisha, to bring in the plow, in order to tend the Kerem, however it needs to be tended. And that's how it's sort of with. We don't want you to be trampling on the other person's things, and therefore you're supposed to do it. Why is it so important? Well, once we know that it's supposed to be about Amos, and it's less than that, then we begin to have Kilayim concerns. So again, it's not disconnected from the Kilayim Sugya, because obviously this race of Tosefta is related to the Kilayim part, but that's not the backdrop for the Dalet Amos. Oh. What does Tosfos gain? Why is that Tosfos thinks that is correct? What does Tosfos gain by saying this? So Tosfos asks to himself, let's see if I can cite again. The beginning of Tosfos, Omer Lo Gedor, Tosfos says, Perish the Bala Kerem, who am I, that Rabbi Shem Har, this is going to be done in prayer, change the Kamal, and by Pilu Rabbi Yossi. So right away, the Kasha that we had on Rashi from the Sigil later on, Chavayim Rebeis, Tosfos is bavorning, right? How do you say bavorn in English? Avoiding, right? He's preempting. Or he's preempting it before you ask me the kasha. But it's all an easy garfi gajatsu. Well, I'll tell you it's not a problem. It's not a problem. Because even the Rabbi Yossi said, Amar Ashley Kamon, he said there, that Modi Rabbi Yossi Bikiri delay. That Rabbi Yossi is going to agree when it is Giri Delay. What did we say Giri Delay? What did we say Giri Delay means? His arrow. What does his arrow mean? The arrow is an example of immediate damage which I caused. Again, it's not the same as me taking my fist to your head. Right? It's a little bit more distant than that. But the force behind the inertia and the vector, and I don't know what other terms are the appropriate terms for the arrow being shot. Physics guys will help us. That comes from me. I'm responsible for it. According to Rabbi Yossi. Well, so fine. So that's the approach of Tosfos. Tosfos is momentarily going to shift gears to another issue, but we'll deal with that in a moment. We still owe Rabbi Kasha and Rashi, right? The answer might be what we've been saying, that Rashi just chose to answer, learn Sugya the way that he thought was simplest, which maybe is according to the Chachamim. It's not the most satisfying answer in the world, I think you'll agree. So what alternatives are there? What alternatives are there? So the Ramban, if you saw the Ramban says like this. Nifritza, Omer Lo Gedor. If there's a pirtza, if there's a break, you tell him, fix it. V'yap, I got the kind of Rabbi Yossi again. The implied same kasha that Ramban is bothered by. I don't understand. Why is it the responsibility of the Baal HaKerem? And again, if you think about it, what did the Ramban just do? The Ramban just told us, meaning he's assuming that the pshat, that it means obviously the Ramban with the pshat is in the Tosefta. I mean, I'll say it differently. Although we're dealing with pronouns, nobody seems to learn the opposite. Right? Nobody's learning that the Bala Tvua is saying, in fact, the Bala Kerem is saying to the Bala Tvua, you fix the fence. They're just trying to understand why is that not true. So Ramban also, he doesn't even give you pshat. He's assuming pshat. Oh, but now that I'm assuming pshat, he asks Akasha. I don't understand. Pshat in the Gemara is that the Bala Kerem is being told by the Bala Tvua, you have to build the fence. We just don't know why, according to WOC. But everybody agrees. Okay, unless you guys found another opinion somewhere. Nobody says that you can read the pronouns differently. It is the Chitz HaKerem Shnipritza. We just want to understand why. Oh, so we have the kind of Rabbi Yosi Demar on the Rashi because that's mo. Kevan sheyish iser bedover matmas hakilayim. Since there is a kilayim problem, sheal yirbo mevatas ashura, that the mixing together undoes the rows that were the separate, distinct rows. Mechayvin osa ligdor. Shehu amekayim kilayim mekaren. There is one critical word in this Ramban. It's not the six or seven critical words that we focused on last time. There's one new critical word. And that word is Mikayim. Mikayim. You're supporting, you're sustaining. But what's the Ramban getting at? So there's very little way that you guys would have known this otherwise. There are two different isurim when it comes to kilayim. There is one isur to plant the kilayim. There is another isur of after it's already growing, of not uprooting it. If you're mekayim and you allow it to fester and continue to grow, that's a separate isur. Oh, so says the Ramban, the obligation of the Bala Karen is not because of Giri delay. It's not because of the creation of Kilayim, and that is going to be Mazik. It is a different iser of being mekayim kilayim b'kerem. So you right? So again, let me just make sure it's okay. We were saying until now why we were looking at it from a nezikin perspective, right? Mehilchos nezikin, the iser kilayim that is going to happen in the future is going to be a hezek. That's not what the Ramban is saying. If you read the Ramban carefully. The Ramban is, because if that was true, the Ramban would say, then halacha should be like Rav Yossi. Maybe he doesn't believe that this is Giri Delay. Like you guys were saying last time. Right? It only made sense according to Tosfos to say that it was Giri Delay. Why? Because we were talking about using the heavy machinery. That's direct. But if you're not talking about the machinery, you're talking about the Yisr Kalayim, that takes place over time. That's like Giri Delay. How long it's going to take for the increased growth to come 1-200, that's spread out. You can't compare that to shooting an arrow or a bullet. It's not the same thing. So if it's not Giri Delay, so then why do we not paskin like Rabbi Yossi? So says the Ramban, because we're talking about a different halacha. Aye, what's it doing here? Don't we have to be talking about Nezikin? No, we don't have to be talking about Nezikin. Why did we bring this raya? Well, we brought the raya for one reason. To figure out what on earth the word mechitza means. Everything else that we learn, all this other stuff that we're learning is bonus. This is icing on the cake. We get to know something about kilayim. That's not why it was brought here. So I don't care if it's a detail in Hilchos Kilayim, or if you're telling me the crux of the second parak of Bava Basra. The goal here wasn't to learn the second parak of Bava Basra. In order to understand Tosfos, we needed to understand the second parak of Bava Basra. Says the Ramban, that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about a different iser. What's the iser? Of being mekayim kilayim bekerem, of allowing kilayim to remain. You're going to ask me, why is that the responsibility of the bala kerem more than the bala tfua? Right? Once we have a Once I have the mixture, it's already kilayimized, right? And now it's being mekayim. So what's usher when you have kilayim? Is it just the grapes or is it just the wheat? Or is it both? It's both. The same way when you have any other mixture of kilayim, it's the combination. That's aser. The chiddush here that is aser b'hanah. That iser kilayim remains. You can't benefit from it at all. So why is it that if we're talking about the Isser that we're concerned about is being Mekayim, Kelayim, and Mekarem, so why is that more the responsibility of the Balakarim than the Balatvuah? That's where the Ramban uses that phrase, that the Baal HaKerem is more responsible in Hilchos Kilayim because he was the encroacher. Shezeb Baal HaTchumo. That line that I pulled out was really out of context. So, Chatasi Abisi Pashati. He wasn't really telling us exactly what we wanted at the time, but it was a very clear way of expressing what I wanted to express at the time. So I borrowed the phrase from the Ramban. But the Ramban is actually saying something a lot more nuanced. And he's saying when it comes to the Isser being Mekayim of allowing Kilayim to remain, you can't do that. It's a separate Isser. But when you're dealing with this kind of situation where one is, I didn't do anything, and one, my stuff moved, then the responsibility in Hilchos Kilayim, to make sure that this is not going to last. And in our case, maybe it's not going to become Usr. That kind of surprised me. It's now mixed together. If you allow it to stay there, right? It wasn't Usr yet. Right? We're not talking about these where it already Usr'd it. It has to grow 1/200th of its growth. The grapes might have to grow 1/3 of their growth to be Usr. I think you can have a situation in which one of the two is Usr, but that's just for technical reasons that they didn't reach the threshold, right? But as soon as you have the mixture has taken place, now leaving it in place, even just to allow it to become Usr, is the Isser being Mekayim, Kilayim, Mekarim, allowing the Kilayim to remain. Who is more responsible? It says the Ramban, the Chiddush of the Tosefta, is that the Baal HaKerem is more responsible, because in the end he was the cause. He's not the Mazik, but is he the cause? Yeah. His stuff moved. And therefore, if he doesn't do it, he, the Baal HaKerem, is going to violate the Isser of being Mekayim, Kilayim, Mekarem. Yes?
What does that mean on the sense of, is it still monetary thing he has to pay the Nizek? Or is it just Isser?
It means we're not discussing it. No, meaning, not that I won't discuss it with you, but meaning any other, you'll then have to plug it into Hilchos Nezikin and find out what the halacha is. The topic of, again, according to the Ramban, the topic of this Tosefta is not Tashlumen. Again, at the end it does say Chayim Bachar Yusa. So it does sound like there is some sort of responsibility. Right? How that fits in, the Ramban will have to discuss.
Would that be the same thing with the case of the bees?
No. The case of the bees is a totally different discussion. That's what the Ramban is trying to do. The Ramban is trying to divorce this Tosefta from everything we learned yesterday. He's saying this Tosefta has nothing to do with anything that we learned yesterday. What we learned yesterday was the halacha in Hilchos Nezikin. But that's going to require the obligation to be on the Nizak. Now, if I plug this case into Hilchos Nezikin, then what will be? So maybe in Achanami. Maybe in Hilchos Nezikin, if the Baal HaTvuah wants something to happen, he better take responsibility for it, because Zalan Nizak aren't in Gazatzmo. However, there are plenty that disagree. I mean, the Ramban realizes that what he's saying is mechudosh, right? It's not simple. The end is still difficult to read. The Chayi Bachar Yusa, he's going to be responsible for something. So is that not to pay the other guy? Chayi Bachar Yusa means that he's just chayi for the Isser Kilei Kerem. It's hard to read the end of the Tosefta. But then he writes, V'acher Momrim, D'lo Asher Kerem Yosi Alek Rabbanan. That's the easier alternative. Is that what we suggested yesterday in Rashi, and this earlier today also, which is that Ein Hachinami, it goes according to... It's relevant to the discussion of Yosef and the Chachamim, but for whatever reason, Rashi decided, and the Tosefta is written in the Kipshuto according to the Chachamim, and not like Rabbi Yosef. It's Shilo Kelacha. Why? I don't know why. But that's an easy explanation. It's an easy explanation. Oh. Says the Tosfos Rid slightly differently.
Says the Tosfos Rid.
And again, it's not clear. It's not clear that he's saying it according to Rashi, but the Chorot answers for Rashi. Like, again, according to Rashi, it sounds like we're in the world of Nezikin, but he sounds like, and again, because he's using those terms, not just who he's saying is responsible, but he says, your Geffen is coming into my thing. That's the Rabbanan Svara, right? You're encroaching on my territory. Says the Tosfos Rid. Kasev Rabbi Yitzchak Zal, again, I don't think he'd refer to Rashi as Rabbi Yitzchak, or someone by Yitzchak, hard to believe, but maybe somebody else who holds like it. Why is it that we obligate the one who has the kerem more than the one who has the weed? Mishum da iser ba machmas gefanim velo machmas ziraim. The main iser comes because of the gefan. Shagafanim yom gim the rechogos ziraim. They pull the nutrients from further away. Okay, so what? Vafilo, here's the critical line. Wow. He just said a ton. Now, whenever the Rishonim use these terms, you know, kimo or kiman, the ovid, it's like, so we're drawing a comparison. So whenever you have a comparison, you have to figure out what the comparison is, but you also have to realize that it's not going to fit in perfectly. You may have somebody who disagrees. What's Tosfos Rid saying? And again, this is potentially an answer for Rashi. Tosfos Rid himself rejects this. He does not think this is a pshat. But again, he offers it as a pshat for those who learn this way. Says, we know that Yossi owns Ali the Darkness, and we know that Yossi is Moda Begiri Delay. So the easiest thing, in terms of being Yashi Rashi, is to say that Rashi holds that it is Giri Delay. Right? And he'll tell me, and that's not so hard to say because Tosfos holds that as Giri Delay. The answer is no, Tosfos does not hold it's Giri Delay. He holds it's Giri Delay, but not Giri Delay that the vines are going, it's Giri Delay that my tractor is going to smush his wheat. It's two very different issues. So, yes, the construct would come out the same. How can one possibly say that having my grapes slowly begin to creep is Giri Delay? So says the Tosfos Rid, you know why it's Giri Delay? Says, what's the pshat? Again, I'm not a farmer.
I know a little bit about bees, but stops with the bees.
When you plant something, is the pshat, right? Let's take it this way. You know, sometimes these kids will take, like, you know, the lima beans, and they'll put them in soil, and then they'll wet it, they'll put it in the sun, and then it starts to sprout. So you only see it starting to sprout when there's a significant amount of growth. So you go to sleep one night, and then you come back in the morning, go to school, during the day, and it's in the sun, you come back in the day, oh, boom, you have that thing. What's the longest of the growth of the lima bean? What's the longest? Is the pshat that, you know, it gets enough energy to grow and then whoop, it shoots up in one shot, you know, 2 centimeters? Or is it that from the very time that all the ingredients are there, the water, it begins to start growing and it grows little by little by little? We only perceive the growth when there is a significant amount. But it didn't come in spurts. It has been a continuous process of little itty-bitty bits of growth. until I see it. Says the Torah, again, I have no idea which one the actual shot is. I assume it's the closer to the second or the first, because it happens first. But, you know, it's something which has to take time to happen, I would imagine. But, says the Tosos Rid, that he thinks the shot is that as soon, the growth starts right away. It's just, it can't be perceived. It can't be perceived, it's too little. It's too little. Oh, if it starts right away, that's Giri Delay. That's Giri Delay. Meaning, he's obviously not using our definition of Giri Delay. Right? Because our definition of Giri Delay said it's immediate, and then we add it, and you won't be able to protect yourself from it. He's suggesting, no, maybe the definition of Giri Delay is that the damage begins immediately. Where is that not the case? Where is that not the case? Well, maybe by bees and mustard it's not the case. The bees don't start coming that second. They'll smell it. They have to actually fly there. But when you're dealing with a case of growth, and again, in particular, it comes here, how it works with the trees and the boar is not so simple. I don't know. But that's why he suggests the pshat is here. That he would say, why is a Giri Delay? Because they'll define, and again, you could define Giri Delay in a variety of ways. And maybe a Giri Delay here is to be defined as that that which is going to damage has started right away. That's step one of the Tosos Rid. It's still indirect. I mean, Giri Delay implies it's something indirect. Oh, he says, you're right. You have to assume that this is only going to be true according to, right, Ukiman the other Yadayim Dami. Two words of being direct. It is like one who did it directly with his hands. It is similar. Right? It sounds more normal in Hebrew. But right, he is comparing it to direct damage. How can you compare it to direct damage? It seems so different. He says, you know what I'm going to look at when I'm deciding if it's direct damage or not? I'm not looking at the action. I'm not just defining what you do. I'm looking at it, I'm the halachic man. So I'm going to look at it from the lens of halacha. How do we decide if something is direct or not? It's very simple. We have a halacha that grama b'nizokin is putter. Indirect damage, I'm not liable in Beis Din. Direct damage, I am liable in Beis Din. Says the Tosfos Rid, well, there's another thing called garmi. Garmi. What does garmi sound like? Grama. Grama. And we have a shita that holds that the Dayan Din of the Garmi, that we, the Beis Din will look at cases of Din of the Garmi, and therefore I can view it as being direct. Now, what is the difference between Grama and Garmi, if you asked that this morning? It is a massive machlokas rishonim that requires many sugyas, but I'll give you some of what we see in the rishonim. There are rishonim that learn that the terms are synonymous and they mean the same thing. They mean the same thing. That would not work well with what the Tosfos were to say right now. Again, unless you understand that what does it mean if somebody, if you have one Gemara that says Grama b'nizokin is putter, and another one that says that Dainin and Dina de Garmi, maybe it's not focused about Grama b'nizokin. Maybe. Many other Rishonim learn that it has to do with, or Achronim as well, sorry, Dimagir, that it has to do with the level of involvement and the level of how direct it is. Defining that is beyond anything that we could do right now. But on the spectrum of things, anybody who says this assumes that grama is further removed and more indirect, and therefore is putter. Garmi is somewhere in the middle. There is an element of it being grama, being indirect, but it is not fully indirect, or not indirect enough. And therefore, even though I wouldn't call it biyadayi mamish, I can't call it grama b'nizokin as putter, and therefore dina de garmi. So says the Tosfos Rid, if you learn that dina dina de garmi, that garmi are going to be chayek, then what does that seem to indicate? That you believe that it's more like damage biyadayim with your hands than grama. Oh, well, giri delay l'chora hinges on what? Whether it's biyadayim or not. Right? That one aspect of giri delay. Again, all of this would have to still be a different definition from the perspective of whether you can be protected or not. Right now, maybe it has to do much more with what is your maisa? The more direct it is, the more responsible you will be for it. So that is the Tosfos. Again, just to be clear, the Tosfos Rid himself. Tosfos Rid, by the way, was one of the Italian Bali Tosfos. The Tosfos Rid himself rejects this answer. I'm highlighting it because it gives us another potential option of how to learn Rashi. How to learn Rashi. Right? Because we said that Rashi is not, again, one option is that Rashi is just learning it according to the Chachamim. Right? For whatever the reason is, maybe you start with the Pashtus. But here we have an option to even learn according to Rabbi Yossi, but he understands that in such a case, since the growth, which is the damage, begins immediately, that is not considered to be indirect, and it can be, and you're chayev for that, and if you're chayev for that, it can be considered to be geared, because the damage starts right away, as soon as I let go. It's almost like Lahavdil, if you would, shoot the gun or the arrow, and it travels in slow-mo. So my connection to it is no different. It's just as direct. The only chilek is whether, can I do something about it? If it's going in slow-mo, so then I can scooch over or bend over like David saving himself from Shaul's spear several times in Shmuel, things like that. But if you don't think that that's the significant point, it has much more to do with it, whether it's your Maisa or not, then maybe that's another way of explaining Rashi. Good? Oh, beautiful. Now back to Tosfos. Tosfos now shifts to another topic. Tosfos shifts to another topic. So says Tosfos, again, when he says that this is why it says this and not that, what's his implied kasha? Is why didn't it say that? Meaning, when I write a Tosefta, it's not a storybook. I'm not telling you stories. Actually, I'm telling you halacha. So if the halacha is that you're chayiv to put up, the balakarim is chayiv to put up, so tell me what the halacha is. Why not go to, the guy goes over and tells them, who cares? Oh, so why did it say it like that? The reason is that not just that you're obligated to do it. You have to warn the guy. If you did not warn him, wow. If you did not warn him to put up the fence, and it grows a sufficient amount, you're not obligated to pay him. Does it become usur? Sounds like yes. Sounds like yes. That shouldn't be so surprising, right? Most isurim, the isur is a metzias. This is a metzias. Did they grow together? Did they not grow together? If I have my plukat or my epra plum or whatever those things were, once they grew together, that's it. Again, those happen to not be asur ba'achila, but you violated the asur already. So here also, what's the chiddush? But if you didn't warn me to put up the fence, I'm not obligated for the damage. Why? Because I didn't know I was damaging you. I didn't realize I was obligated. So therefore what? Therefore it doesn't tell us it tells us that you have to warn him. This is not this is a halacha that requires hasra'ah, requires warning him. Then Tosu says, and now I understand the second thing that should have bothered us when we read the Tosefta. So why does it have to tell us the story twice? Chazer v'nifer tzah, you do the same thing again. Okay, great. Shkoyach. If the halacha is that the Baal Kerem, if the fence falls down, has to put it back up, so why would I think not the second time around? So now I understand what the chiddush is. That da'af pam shnir, that even the second time, kishenifrizat zarach lasrosh, shenifrizat zarach lasrosh, If I tell somebody you have to do something in order to protect, that your stuff shouldn't damage somebody else. So I was saying, it's not so simple that I would automatically assume that I have to keep doing it. I have to do it once. What do you want for my life? I tried. So if I did it once and it fell down again, wasn't meant to be. I might have thought that, and that would have been justified. But, says the Tosefta, if he warns you again, and he's supposed to warn you again, then you have to do it again. Once he warns you again, so can you still say this svara if I didn't think I had to do it all the time? I would probably think, no. Why is it too different? Interestingly, Tosfos is Mesupuk. Next line of Tosfos. Nifritza Pamshlishis, if it breaks a third time, Mesafka Lurim Tsarach Lasos Bashoj and Mesagi Bijay Zimni, the Ain Tsarach Lasos Bashoj. He's not sure. What's he not sure about? I guess he's not sure. You know, three strikes and you're out. You gotta build the halacha is based on baseball, but that there is an element in human nature of like, I tried and I tried again. You know, you avar avera v'shanaba, then that doesn't bother us so much. You do it again, the more you do something, the more it becomes part of. There's something about human nature, the more times you do things. So even though maybe one isn't enough, that would not necessarily tell me that I have to do it a third time. L'chora, again, it's not explicit. L'chora, would the reed be mesupik? About a fourth time? The guy was warned three times. And then it falls down. Would the guy be able to tie it? I didn't think I had to do it. I don't know. I'm not so convinced. At a certain point, I think even the reed would say, game over. Three strikes, you're out. And you have to be willing to do it. No, I think so. Good? Oh. Comes along, Rabbi Yehuda, again. So Tosfos had two implied kashas in the second part of Tosfos. Right? Kasha number one was, why is it this written story fashion of telling the guy to put it up? Why does it just say, Chayev, you're obligated to do it? Question number two was, why did it have to say it twice? Right? So Tosfos answered both of those questions. Comes along, Rabbi Yehuda. Why did it say it twice? So Rabbeinu Tam is only answering the second kasha. Right? Wow. What is that? What is that halacha? What is that halacha? So Rabbeinu Tam says, what does he say? That if you grow, again, the shear in order to aser is an increase of 1/200th of its growth. Yes? Oh. Only in combination of, the only time it's going to be aser is if that's in one fell swoop of tarovas, of mixture. But if you get a little bit of growth, then you put up a fence, then it falls back down an hour later, and now it grows more, and now it grew first 1/400th, and then it grows another 1/400th. So you have 1/200th now of growth, right? I think so. No, maybe not the way. I think so. Then it's not going to be usher. If I wouldn't have put it up in between, I mean, it only grew b'tarovas. It's not, oh, maybe the amount that it grew was while the fence was. No, we know. We know that it grew. Again, the easiest way to conceptualize this is just to assume that they knew that a certain amount of time had passed. Let's say it grows 1/400th every 2 days. So if it's 4 days, I think, yeah, you can assume that it was my 200. I don't know what this year is for. I'm just trying to make it easier to understand. Right? Oh, why should that be? Why should that be? Says right in the town, the may be showing a reshowing about look at the concept of bittul. Oh, we love bittul. What's bittul about? Nullification. Nullification. So we have halakha of rov, right? We go after the majority, after rav and lahatos. What are the different types of rov? We also have halakha that is, so if you have a miyot, you have a little bit of iser, which is mixed in with heter. So then, aslinan basaro, again, with a lot of details. When it comes to something that has ta'am, and you have to get rid of the ta'am, we assume that you need shishim, 60 times, in order to be mevatel. And the question that Rabbi Tam is breaching over here is, if I have a pot of chalm, and I'm pouring milk into the chalm. Now I'm not allowed to do it because we have a halacha that says ein mevatlin isra lechatchila. Right? I can't take a little bit of milk and pour it into my giant chalm, but even though it'll be bittul, because it's machlokas according to most of the din derabanan that we don't invoke bittul on purpose, going to the right mitzvah din deraisa, we don't do it on purpose. But what, where do we stop the clock? Meaning, as if I'm pouring it in very slowly, as soon as the first little bit falls in, isn't it bottle? And then once it's bottle, so, and more of it, if a little bit falls in today, and then, you know, I eat it, whatever, and a little bit falls in later, so there's a discussion, in the Gemara, do we say choser v'neir, that they join together and they weaken it? And not so simple that we do. Now, once we paskin that it's mutter, it's mutter. So we say that the iser is nehapach lios heter. It turns into heter. So every time I put in the milk, so shouldn't it be batal? And no matter how much I put in, every little bit should just be nullified. So obviously we don't say that. But where do we draw the line? So you might tell me, well, if you're pouring it in, as long as you're still in one action of pouring, I don't stop it. Okay. Drip. Drip. It's not one action of pouring. So where do I draw the line over here? So at least in our case, what's the Ramban, what's the Tosfos telling us? Rabbeinu Tam is saying, the Chorah, that if it grows 1/400th now, and another 400th later, and in between, it there was a fence up, so they're not mitzarif. We say that each time there was bittul. Why? Why was there bittul? What's the significance of putting up that fence? Why does that act as a stopwatch? And even if you have a stopwatch, right? And when you have a stopwatch, you can either stop it and then start up again, or you can reset it, right? Either to the remotes. So here also, what the Ramban is telling us is that even if you stop it, it resets, and now you start again. So that's why I can have another 400, as long as it's less than a 200, they're not mitzarif. So what's the significance, in Lomdus, what's the significance of that moment when the fence goes up? And the fence goes up. So, l'chora, and there is more to it than others, but l'chora, what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that at the moment that we are to now start ask, that we have a break, and now we can ask the shaila, is this us or is it mutter? Once that shaila is theoretically paskin, so you can stop the clock and reset. Meaning once it went back up, so we have to know, is the stuff in the kerem asur b'hana or not? Is it asur b'hana? Did it become asur b'hana? So that's a pause that now requires us to ask that question. Will somebody, the mice, ask it? Maybe not. You know, but But theoretically, that is a moment at which that question is now asked. Well, what happened? Did it become us or did it not become us, sir? So to hear, we can at least explain that once that happens, that resets it. That resets it. Mashiach, if it continues to grow, and there's no reason to pause it, then we view it as one event. If the trajectory is moving and this is still continuous, then we have to wait until we see the whole picture. We can't stop it drip, 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 drip. Because that's the way it seems to be, that it's all going to come. If it's constant, there's no bittul. But once there is a pause, then the bittul happens, because we have to assess the situation. And even if practically nobody asks the shayla at that moment, it still needs to be dealt with. There are other details within Bitzel. I think it's going to get us a little bit confused. So maybe we'll leave that. You guys can't say Tosfos without having base? Yes, no? Some? A little bit?
So let's just see that Tosfos briefly, then we'll stop.
So this Yayish Hemena below Gadra. So again, the end of this story is that if the guy gives up and doesn't build it, then Chayiv b'Achrayusa. What's the significance of that word Nisyayish? And if he's not Nisyayish? What if he just didn't have a chance? What if he's, there's a lumber shortage now. There's a lumber shortage. One of these car shortage, lumber shortage, one of these COVID things that we can't really put our, understand why it's true. But in the Maisa, there's a lumber shortage. So I can't get wood. I want to put up a fence, I can't get wood. The Afghan is Yayesh. He says, no. The Tosefta is serious. It has to be that you gave up. Avalonis Yayesh Rose Kosho Ligdar Afabish Rose Masai Mutter. Wow! Massive Kiddush. When it comes to Kiliyat Kerem, even if it grows, the forbidden amount. But I was trying to stop it. I just couldn't. Doesn't become us, sir. Really? And if I don't want the wool to get into, or the linen to get into my wool suit, and it just gets in, that's not a problem. I don't want the milk to fall in. I'm trying. These surim depend on what I want, what I'm trying. Says Tosfos, yes. Kedistan Maseches Kilayim is how we understand the Mishnah in Kilayim. Harova Yerek Bekerem. He sees a vegetable in his kerem. Oh, you know what the topic of this Mishnah is? Mikayim Kilayim. Yes, that the Ramban was talking about. Right? I'm walking through my kerem and suddenly I see there's wheat growing in my kerem. V'amar Jegiyasham L'sham Alaktenu. And he says, when I get there, I'll deal with it. Hosei Masai Mutter, if it grows in the interim, it's still Mutter. If he says, I'll get back to tomorrow, I just want to go home and take a nap. Hosei Masai Mutter, what's the difference? As long as you're trying, I think Hosei Masai Mutter. It's a different type of Easter. That it has to be nichalei. It has to be something. So I don't know about it. It's not us, sir. Right? That same case. It probably already grew Masai beforehand. What does it help if I go back and do it? No. Once I found out about it, then I have to deal with it. It's a unique isser. We don't find these surim like this so frequently. Is it in a mitzvah? Why does kavana matter? As the Talmud says, there's a question. Oh, so that again, that lechora is the is the Chiddush, again, it might not be Tosfos' Chiddush. Once you have this Mishnah, once you have the Diyuk, there might be nuances to it, but you see that there's something different about this particular Nisr. And that this one, again, is going to be usually soon based on Mitzius. Here there's an element of Das, and as long as I am trying, that is going to be sufficient. If you have a chance in the Rambam in Gilai, where Zion of the Zion, it's interesting, the Rambam makes no mention of being Chayim B'Achrayuso, which is surprising, because our Gemara clearly says that you would be Chayim B'Achrayuso. So why is he just talking about the Isser? So some want to suggest that why did the Rambam not learn that, like, ours is because it's according to the Chachamim. You use that answer in Rashi, that's what the Rambam learned, so then it's Shavu Kalacha. So the case you have to deal with in the Rambam, but in terms of the ultimate din in Hilchos Nezikin, am I obligated to pay? I'm not obligated to pay, because Allah needs a darkened Kazatzma. Why do I have to put up the fence? Okay, so we have three different answers. Why you still might have to, put up a fence? You still might have to be involved, whether you say like Tosos or Sakarim, whatever it is. But if there's a chayv after you, so you would not have to do it. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. There is more in terms of the bittul, the Ramban. Either we'll do that tomorrow, or we'll move on to Rosh Hashanah. So I'll decide later today.